Welcome to Hope101.net, Internet Radio, a voice of hope. Thank you for joining radio host and hope coach Lori Boroff. Each week, Lori speaks with experts and recognized guests to discuss a four-step formula for hope when life hurts. You won't want to miss this hour of fresh perspective and practical principles for healing and hope. Let's dig in. Step one is H for heal. Heal and get real. Healing your broken heart improves your health, and it starts here today. Here's Lori.
Hi, this is Lori with Hope101.net. The upcoming interview comes with a double warning. You will need Kleenex in hand, and yet you don't want to miss it. My guest is Julie Locke, mother of little Dax Locke. I met Julie and her husband, Austin, at a Matthew West Storyteller Weekend in Franklin, Tennessee. Singer-songwriter Matthew West has played a big part in the Locke's life, which she shares as she walks us through the one last Christmas with Dax. Welcome, Julie.
Hello, Lori.
It's great to talk to you again and have you on Hope101.net. You just have so much to share about healing and about hope, and I guess the best place to start is just with your story.
Yes, well, I'm excited to do this today and to share our story with everyone and hopefully inspire people who are going through the same thing or just people in everyday life who need a little joy in their life.
So you and your husband, Austin, started a family with a little boy named Dax?
We did. We had Dax June 26, 2007, he was our first little boy, our first baby. You know, mothers out there, you can kind of relate to the first time you see your first child for the first time, and I was in love first sight with him and thought he was absolutely perfect and was absolutely crazy about him. He was healthy. He was born 9 pounds, 6 ounces. He was a little bit more than healthy, and we were so proud of him. He was so perfect to us. We took him home from the hospital, just like normal. He was fine. He was growing. He was eating until about 6 months hit. Then he started to get a lot of ear infections and colds, and that's so common in children. I was, of course, just very worried being a new mom, but everyone was telling me, this is normal, kids go through this, and everybody was telling me about their experiences with getting tubes in the ears, but I never had a settling feeling in my stomach, because Dax, I nursed Dax. Dax didn't go to a daycare. He wasn't around other children. But it seemed like if I went to the grocery store, he would get sick. He was just always touching everything. His first real spout of a real bad cold he got, we went to Dallas when he was about 6 months old. And he just couldn't sleep. He was miserable just with a cold. And for a new mom, I was very overwhelmed and, of course, very scared. And now, in hindsight, when I look back, I remember bruising. He had some bruises on his spine, and I thought that was maybe related to him laying in the bathtub. You know, when they lay in the bathtub and kick their legs, and so I would stop letting him lay down and have fun in the bathtub because I was concerned about the bruises. So when Dax was 6 months old, the sicknesses began. And Dax really never recovered from that first cold. He would start an antibiotic for an ear infection or some type of virus they believe he had, and it never worked. We'd always kept going up to new and stronger medicines. And that went on for about 6 months. when he was a year old, literally the day after his first birthday, he went inpatient for the first time in the first hospital visit. And it was because my pediatrician wasn't in the office, and there happened to be another person there that looked at Dax that day. And I'm so grateful for that man. Because by the time we left that first hospital and got to St. Jude, St. Jude ended up being our fourth hospital. No one knew what was wrong with Dax. It kept drawing blood, and they couldn't pinpoint anything. I remember an oncologist coming into the second hospital we were at saying, "This isn't cancer. This is an infection somewhere, and we just can't find it." So I was just so nervous when they were bouncing us around to different hospitals and people weren't knowing what was going on.
So, Julie, he was actually diagnosed with leukemia in Iowa City, Iowa hospitals?
Yes.
Okay.
You actually have to go, you have to be referred to St. Jude, so you have to be diagnosed with cancer before you can go there. So you have to be referred there.
Okay. So he was life-flighted to Memphis, Tennessee.
Right.
And then what happened?
The doctor then, you know, told us that Dax would start chemotherapy, and you wouldn't believe, like, when you have a healthy child, the feeling of wanting to start chemotherapy on your child, but I wanted this monster out of his body so bad. I wanted him to be happy, and I wanted him to walk and thrive, and so we started chemotherapy, and he was so happy. And I got my happy little boy back. It was amazing. Right away, the first dose of chemo. Children aren't like adults. They don't sulk. They either feel bad and they're fussy, or they are happy. And he was happy. And that's what gave me my strength, was to see that. Because, I felt so terrible. I was every other mom had it so much better than me, you know, when I was before. And then Jack taught me so much about life. He was just thrilled, and he didn't know. He was so little. He was 13 months when we arrived. He couldn't even talk. You know, he could kind of say mom and dad, but he actually whispered. He didn't really talk. He did a lot of sign language, but he was just happy. And when I was happy, he was even happier. So I really focused on that with him all through his treatment. He began his first chemo, and the doctor came to us and told us that Dax's leukemia was very rare, and it was more common in men over the age of 65, and they only got about 15 kids a year that had this type of leukemia. Granted, 98% of children that walk through that door are cured of childhood leukemia. Because if they have the most common kind, just totally almost eradicated. They're amazing. But Dax's cancer is not. There is no cure. And unless there was like little chromosomes that he might have had and things like that. But they never told us that. They never let us lose hope when we were there. He said, "This first round of chemo didn't work." He goes, "But we have a bone marrow transplant that you can try. That is the most aggressive and the most powerful treatment that we have here. And Dax, there's an open protocol, and Dax can get in it. It's an infant protocol." And we were so excited. We were so ready to move on and try this new treatment. So we began to get ready for this bone marrow transplant, and it was very hard for me to move the doctors because I went from a leukemia doctor to a transplant doctor. Dax's transplant doctor was there, and he was the top transplant specialist in the world. He wrote the protocol that Dax was on. This man I think of him every day.
How did the bone transplant go, the bone marrow transplant?
So Dax received his first bone marrow transplant, and the day before Christmas, the cancer came back. So I knew then, after what I had seen with my other friend's children, that Dax wasn't going to survive. But they would never say that to me. The doctors would never say that to me until they had exhausted everything. But I knew then that Dax's body could not. They told me that my cells were the strongest for Dax. They were the best option. And now they're like, well, this is how they came to me with this. They said, we're going to do Austin cells, and maybe since Austin cells are not compatible, they'll fight against Dax's. That's what St. Jude does for you. They just, if you can totally just breathe, because they give you something to hold on to until there is literally nothing left.
So then Austin stepped in there.
Stepped in, and they did a second bone marrow transplant. So Dax started his second transplant. That day I got it done. And he went to second transplant, and right away, it didn't work. They called me in Austin when Dax was getting like an MRI or a CT, and we were sitting in the cafe at the hospital. My Dax was sedated, and they told me that they found a lump on his spine. This was after the second transplant, and I said, I just want to go home. I just want to go home. So we did. We went home with Dax.
And going home, you knew what was going to happen, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, I did. They don't just send you home after relapse. I knew when he relapsed from his first transplant. I knew that the second transplant was just going to give me a little bit more time.
So what happened when you got home, Julie?
I got home, and I was very unhappy. I just wanted to go back. I couldn't handle the pace of the real world. I couldn't watch the news. I couldn't listen to people creating problems. I was so detached from reality. I had been to war, literally, and I actually got diagnosed with post-traumatic stress syndrome. I was having nightmares, having severe anxiety, and I just wanted to go back where I was safe. So I called St. Jude. They had an ambulance there for me the next day, and it drove me back to Memphis. And I sat there for about a week, and then I decided to go back home, and they did. They just packed me all up, kept me on my medicine. Handled me just beautifully. Looking back now, I don't know that I would have had that in me if I wouldn't have been through something like that. You know what I mean? To handle a crazed woman who's about to lose their child. So I get home, and everybody just wants to come over and wants to see Dax. And they tell us that we have 6 to 8 weeks with him. And it dawned on me that Dax can do something. Dax changed my life. Dax has shown me what life is about. Dax has taught me about love and hope and things that I did not have in my life before. And I want to share this with the world. And I really want to share with the world St. Jude gave me this year and a half with Dax that I would not have had if I would have been anywhere else, because they were the only one with this treatment, and Dax would have passed away right at that first dose of chemo that didn't work. And on top of it all, we never got a bill. St. Jude is free.
Wow.
And I was with this for a year. I had 2 bone marrow transplants. I'm talking housing, food, transportation, best medical care. Top people from all over the world travel to work in this wonderful place. They're from the cleaning ladies to the top researchers. I've never met such a warm and amazing staff in my life. They knew my name. They knew my son's name. They brought some gifts. They would wash my clothes for me. They gave me their phone numbers so I could call them. I called my doctor during his son's bar mitzvah, and he answered it. I don't know, it was my family. And I feel I owe the rest of my life to them because they gave me the most precious gift anyone could have given me was more time with my son. So.
And I'm excited to talk about that later. We're going to talk about what you're doing. You're doing something amazing right now. What's going on with Dax?
So when we got home with Dax, my neighbors, I was really overwhelmed with my amazing community of Washington, Illinois, cooking dinners, bringing gifts, all these things for Dax. Because everybody knew I was home because of my blog. I had written a blog on Caring Bridge, and people in my community just followed it. And everybody knew I was coming home and that this was happening. And I was really overwhelmed with everyone at my door. And Dax, I was running an IV pump and just very busy. And I just really wanted to all my attention on Dax. So I came home, and my neighbors, Trish and Mark, they decided to put it out in the community to help us give Dax one last Christmas, because they told us he wouldn't make it to Christmas. And we had put up a Christmas tree for Dax, and they had seen it, and they said, you know, this is a way that the community can help the lock by putting up their Christmas lights and not overwhelming them being at their door. It's a silent way to show their support, and that is what they really need right now. They need time with their son. Even though everybody desperately just wants to help, right now this is the help that they need. And all of a sudden, 150 houses are lit up in my neighborhood for Dax before Halloween with Christmas lights.
Wow.
And then all of a sudden, my town's putting up their lights, and then the city, and then we have barracks in Baghdad, and a nurse in Germany, and these pictures are coming from all over the world of lights for Dax. And people are selling out Dax and Christmas lights on their roof. Like I said, there's just no words. When people ask me how it makes me feel, I felt completely loved. Complete love from my neighbors that I didn't even know. And that helped me tremendously to know that people love my son and supported me.
Did he realize what was going on with the Christmas lights and the tree?
Yes. Dax was, actually, we brought him home, and, the bone marrow transplant, he couldn't walk because of all the damage it had done to his spine. When leukemia eats at your bone, it's kind of like a piece of Swiss cheese. It just digs these holes in your bone, and that's what it was doing to his spine. So he couldn't walk, but he could crawl for a little bit of time, and he was still very alert and happy and dancing with us, like we helped him dance. And so he would see the Christmas lights and point at them and just smile. It just really lit up his world and lit our hearts forever. And Dax, at the end, I was trying to keep him at home, and I started to feel a little uncomfortable at home. So the hospital, I am very, very blessed to have a St. Jude clinic 10 miles from my home. So it's the hub of St. Jude is in Memphis. That's a big hospital, but it has these little free clinics kind of down the middle of the United States, one in Illinois, two in Baton Rouge, and I think one in Mississippi, and one happens to be 10 minutes from my house. So we were able to go into the hospital about 6 weeks before Dax passed away, where there was a clinic. And that's where we spent our last 6 weeks with Dax. And Dax did make it to Christmas.
He did make it to Christmas.
Yes, he did. And when we got admitted into that room for the last time, the nurses covered the room in Christmas lights and Christmas trees and Christmas cards. And came and sat with me on their nights off. I would be up all night just watching the monitors because I was worried. And, Jack, I'd seen, some very hard deaths with children in Memphis. And not, I shouldn't say hard. They were peaceful, but they just went through a lot before they died. Trying to save them. And Jack, we knew he was going to die, so we just kept him very comfortable, and he was sleeping when he died. And that makes me so happy that he was peaceful. He wasn't in pain or suffering. And I could see on the monitor that his heart just stayed very steady, and he was just calm. He was in no pain. He died on December 30th, 2009.
Julie, you have just gone into the depths of your heart sharing your story right now, and it's hard to understand how there can be hope out of all this, but there is hope. There is. You have an amazing story to tell yet. We're going to take a little break right now, and I just know that there are Hope friends listening today who think that the story sounds familiar, and there may be a reason for that, and we'll talk about that later. But it may be familiar because you, too, have lost a child to cancer or illness or an accident. And you understand exactly the heartache that Julie and her husband Austin went through and the pain that Dax suffered as a little baby. So I just want to encourage you to go ahead and listen to this entire program at your convenience, because it is a story of hope, a story of finding purpose in all this pain that Julie has shared with us. And if you know someone who's feeling hopeless today from losing a child, I would want to encourage you to give them a call, give them a text and say, "Hey, I'm thinking of you today." Check out this Julie's story on hope101.net. Hear Dax's story. We have so much more, Julie. You're going to come back and just share a little bit about how you got through the pain. And later we'll talk about how God used the pain to help thousands of children.